The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This is Sam Livingston filling in for Mr. Stephen Flurry. Mr. Flurry should be back in town right now. He was in Toronto on Sunday and Raleigh, North Carolina on Monday night. I believe he flew back late last night. He should be back on live tomorrow on Wednesday. And as always, we look forward to hearing some stats and feedback on how the personal appearance campaigns went. On today's show, I'd like to talk a fair bit about music. Last week, Mr. Stephen Flurry did a segment on horror movies, and unfortunately, this is in or along that same vein, but in regards to music. Don't worry, though, I plan on ending on a very positive note. And to conclude today's show, I'd like to end with a segment from one of Mr. Gerald Flurry's Key of David programs. So I'll just go ahead and get started right into it here. Last week, Mr. Stephen Flurry did a program about horror movies and the unseen spirit world, and I thought I would just kind of follow that same theme here, but as it regards to music. Now, pop music, as it's called, you know, it's always had, you know, some good music mixed in with bad. It's always been that trendy music, but it's very catchy. It's very easy to get addicted to it, but obviously when you start looking into the lyrics to a lot of those songs, they're broadcasting very terrible messages. And Mr. Armstrong wrote a large amount about music and its influence, especially on young people. At the college, freshman year in Principles of Living, students read from Alan Bloom's book, The Closing of the American Mind, and he has a section in there as well about pop music. But I've been noticing, at least over the past couple years, what now passes as pop music is what used to be a lot of the grunge, that gross underground music that has always been around, but it's never been promoted as though it was pop music. And just like what Mr. Flurry said with those horror movies, they've always been around, but look how mainstream they are now. Look how often they're produced. Look at how much more twisted and evil they've become. And the same thing is happening with music. A couple months ago, I happened across the top music charts. I think it was around the time of some festival in California, and this was trending on YouTube and Twitter a lot. It's definitely not the sort of thing that I actively look into or follow, just as a little disclaimer there. But this video or whatever it was talking about the top performer at this festival. And it was this young girl, this 17-year-old girl, and her name is Billie Eilish. And she won this award. She was the Kids' Choice Award for Favorite Breakout Artist of 2019. Now, the Children's Network, Nickelodeon, they sponsor this award show. So this is the Kids' Choice Award. And this singer, Billie Eilish, she's 17 years old. So she is technically a kid. She's a teenager. And it's young people that vote for this music, that make it popular. So she's considered pop music. That is her genre of music. It's considered pop. So this is being played on the radio. It's being played alongside all of the other quote-unquote great pop stars like Justin Bieber and Katy Perry. Not that they're great, but those are the ones that you'd hear more about. And anyway, they played a clip on this video from one of her music videos, and I was shocked. It looked like something out of a horror movie. I could not believe this was pop music. And I guess pop music, that's just what's popular. But this is, I think, very revealing of how horrible popular culture has become, how degraded our world is quickly becoming. I thought what they were showing was just a flat-out scene from a horror movie. I was surprised the 3 or 4 seconds of this that they played in this tweet or this YouTube clip that was promoted. I just had to look away immediately. It was so graphic and gross. But this is where everything is moving. This is, again, like I said, the sort of music that's been this sort of underground, gross music that hasn't been as promoted, but now it's mainstream. And this young girl, Billie Eilish, I'll just pronounce it that way, she is so popular right now. She's 17 years old, and I'd like to look at just some of the themes in her music to expose how gross and how evil this world's form of media is, and especially that it's being targeted at young people. I'm not sure about how all of these music ratings charts works. You can look at all sorts of different genres, but her album, if you just Google top albums of 2019, her album is number one. And I'm not advocating that you go and Google a lot of this because it's really not uplifting. So her number one album, now remember throughout this entire segment, this is a 17-year-old girl, a young 17-year-old girl. Her first album is titled When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? And she has some very demonic themes in her music. Some of the top songs on this album, one is titled Wish You Were Gay, My Strange Addiction, Bury a Friend. Some of the themes in her songs are about murdering her friends, cannibalism, homosexuality, demon worship. Again, it's not like this was just a genre that was developed yesterday, but now it's mainstream. Now this is a young girl. This is music that is played on children's networks to teenagers and have voted her album the number one album in the United States. And this is considered pop music. And I would like to read some lyrics from her songs, because a lot of times those lyrics they're buried in that pop music, the catchy tune or that hypnotic beat, and it's hard to make out what the lyrics are. Now, the brief snippet of her music that I heard, it sounds like the genre, I'm just going to term it horror music. It's not even catchy or trendy. It's very creepy. But the themes in this music, and again, a 17-year-old, I heard one of these songs on the radio just yesterday, flipping through the stations, one of the pop music stations here. This song is titled You Should See Me in a Crown. And she says, or she sings, You should see me in a crown. I'm going to run this nothing town. Watch me make them bow, one by one, one by one, one by one. You should see me in a crown. Your silence is my favorite sound. Watch me make them bow, one by one. Count my cards, watch them fall. Blood on a marble wall. I like the way they all scream. Tell me which one is worse, living or dying first. Sleeping inside a hearse, I don't dream. This is a young teenage girl with themes that are incredibly depressing and incredibly demonic. And this music is very, very bad. And this is the young girl winning Kids' Choice Awards. And you would not believe this music if you heard it. You would not believe this is what young people listen to. I started playing one video or one of these songs just to hear what that style was, and I had to turn it off in 3 or 4 seconds. I couldn't believe that this is what's now passed off as pop music. It's one of the most twisted things I've ever heard. Worse than even a lot of those horror movie commercials that you see come on TV that Mr. Fleury was talking about. She has one song. I won't name the title because it contains profanity. This one is dedicated to Lucifer. I don't even know. The first lyric is, "My Lucifer is lonely. Look at you needing me. You know I'm not your friend without some greenery." She references the Apostle Peter. She says, "Your cover-up, Peter, is caving in. Man is such a fool. Why are we saving him?" She talks about California burning. "My turn to ignore you. Don't say I didn't warn you." Even God, she refers to God as a she. Even God herself has enemies. "And once the water starts to rise and heaven's out of sight, she," as in her song referencing God, "will want the devil on her team. My Lucifer is lonely." Hearing that and seeing those lyrics, seeing that this is now being passed off as pop music, is such a powerful sign of the times that we're living in. I'd like to read a little bit from this Rolling Stone article that they wrote about this young girl, Billie Eilish. And this article, it's a very flattering article. It's not calling out any of the strangeness or the horrible themes of her music. It's really talking about how she has triumphed, how she's taken over the pop music world. And this article makes her sound like a normal teenager. She's at home, she surfs the internet and talks to her friends. She ignores her parents when they tell her to do chores. It makes her family look so normal, like they all prepare to go on tour together. She's just this normal teenage girl. And then in this one interview with her, she has claws. She grew out her fingernails and sharpened them to where they are at a point. So this is not, well, now I guess this is pop culture. This is normal now. But these are extreme and strange things, to say the least. This article begins, "Alicia's debut album, When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go, was released this past spring and has already been streamed more than 2 billion times. The week it came out, she had 14 songs in the top 100, more than any other female artist ever. 17 years old, her first album, and she's already the most popular female artist of all time. Last week, she was touring Australia. Tomorrow, she leaves for a festival in the United Kingdom. And for the rest of the month, she's playing amphitheaters and arenas across the United States. Every single one sold out." This is in high demand. People are coming out in droves to listen to this sort of music. And those lyrics I read to you are awful, but the music associated with that is some of the most twisted, horrific sounding. You can't even call it music. There's no musical, I don't know what the term is, rules to it at all. It's just shrieks and moans and cries like Mr. Armstrong wrote about. This Rolling Stone article goes on, "Unlike previous generations of pop idols, your Nickelodeon alumni and Simon Cowell constructs, Eilish also got where she is more or less organically. 4 years ago, she uploaded to SoundCloud a gorgeous ballad called Ocean Eyes, which she sang," quote unquote, well, I put those quotes there, "and her older brother, Phineas, now 22, wrote and produced." So this is a family affair. Her and her brother are in this music business together. "The song was meant for Alicia's dance teacher, who asked for a song to choreograph a routine to. But when it went viral, essentially overnight, the industry came calling. She had a billion streams on Spotify before her album had even come out." There's a huge market for this. People were flocking to her before she had all of the media promotions from her album, before she even recorded the album. She just put some of this gross music up on SoundCloud and had 1 billion plays on Spotify. Sorry, on Spotify and SoundCloud before she even produced the album. Continuing on from this article, they write, "Eilish has always been afraid of things, the ocean and deep water, dark places like her closet or the garage at night. To this day, she still jumps the last few feet into bed in case there's a monster underneath waiting to grab her. So this is the 17-year-old girl writing music about demons, murder, cannibalism. This article goes on, she's been deft at incorporating those fears into her work. Songs like Bury a Friend, a sonic nightmare about cannibals and stapled tongues, or videos like When the Party's Over, where she weeps black ink like in a Japanese horror movie. So here's this young, scared girl singing about her own experiences, her own fears. Now this is just shocking to me that more people aren't alarmed by this. Continuing on from this Rolling Stone piece, but ever since her career took off, her nightmares have gotten way more intense. She says, I actually had to stop watching horror movies because everything started scaring me, she says. She goes on, I saw creatures outside my windows. I had sleep paralysis. She says, I'm done with the fake things. Real life is way too scary. What is going on? What is she singing about? What is happening in this world where these sorts of themes, where this sort of music is considered now pop music, pop culture? If you haven't already, go back and listen to Mr. Stephen Fleury's program on horror movies. He did that last week. It's not the most exciting topic to cover, but you have to ask yourself, how did society get to this point? What's going on? How are these strange, crazy things becoming so mainstream? I'd like to conclude this segment with some quotes from Mr. Gerald Fleury and his book, America Under Attack, because without knowing Bible prophecy, without understanding your Bible, you cannot understand what's going on in our country. How is this sort of music becoming the norm? How is this music so wildly popular all of a sudden? And this is from Mr. Fleury's book, America Under Attack. He writes, an event occurred in 1986 that marked a major turning point in history. It has radically altered everything that has happened since. Culture, family, education, religion, science, finance, politics, international relations, everything we do has been influenced by that turning point in 1986. Mr. Fleury goes on, yet what is most remarkable is almost no one even knows it happened. It has affected the United States in a massive way. In fact, it marked a major escalation of a violent attack on America. It is an assault by an invisible force, a force that is very real and deadly dangerous. The Bible provides penetrating insight into this troubling trend. The Trumpet has written for years that America is prophesied to fall hard before it rises again. But it also gives extraordinary insight into how that fall will come about. This insight puts the seriousness and urgency of current events in their true perspective. And this book, again, America Under Attack, I believe it's been the most requested booklet that we've produced over the past, I don't know, I think it first came out in 2013. So going on about 6 years now, people are wondering what's going on in this country. Mr. Fleury continues, most people will scoff at what I'm about to say, but it is absolutely true, and you can prove it from your Bible. The most lawless being in the universe is a spirit being, Satan the devil. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 calls him the God of this world. What does that mean? It means that this evil spirit being has frightening power, power we can hardly imagine. To say that he is the God of this world means that he rules, and even more, it means the people in this world worship him. One of the Bible's most remarkable passages to help us understand the extent of the devil's power is the book of Revelation. This book puts all prophecy into a time sequence or time frame. That means you can know when the prophecy is going to be fulfilled. If you don't understand Revelation, you don't understand Bible prophecy. Revelation 12 prophesies of a war in heaven, where great angelic beings fought against the devil and his demons, of which there are millions. Here is the outcome of that spiritual war. The dragon fought, and his angels, the fallen angels, the demons, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. Mr. Fleury continues on. Notice this verse says Satan deceives the whole world. That's talking about everybody. His deception affects this world's education, its religion, its politics, its science, everything. So says your Bible. Ephesians 2 and verse 2 calls Satan the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. I couldn't help but think about that verse when I heard that song on the radio, the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, that young 17-year-old girl, that little teenager singing about cannibalism and murder, and those themes being broadcast throughout the world, and children, young teenagers, voting for that album as the album of the year in 2019, streamed over 2 billion times. The prince of the power of the air. There is power there. Mr. Fleury goes on to say, he, Satan, is stirring up people's emotions, moods, and attitudes. When people get into a negative emotion, a bad attitude, or a wrong mood, he works on those people even more. He has power to influence those wrong emotions. He has deceived the world through them. People don't understand God's word. They don't have any depth spiritually, so they just follow along emotionally, and Satan deceives them all. That is amazing, but it is biblical, and you can prove it to yourself, and you certainly should. How dangerous is this sort of media? How dangerous, like Mr. Stephen Fleury said last week, are those movies? How dangerous is that sort of music? He quoted, I think it's in Ephesians 4, where it says, give no place to the devil. And what is this music and these horror movies other than just an open door for Satan's broadcast, for him and his demons to enter in? And think of the power that that gives him. Like Mr. Fleury says, he has the power to influence wrong emotions. And look at how crazy this world is getting. Look at how extreme people are behaving. Look at those mass shootings over the weekend. Look at those groups like Antifa and the scenes being carried out on the streets of Portland, Oregon. People are just filled with rage. It's all over the nightly news. That anger, no one can get along. There's deep division. People can't talk, they can't work out their problems, they can't find solutions, they dehumanize their opponents. Many people on the radical left are just calling for street violence. If we can't beat them with votes, take to the streets. That is a frightening world to live in if you don't understand Bible prophecy, if you don't understand Ephesians 2, and Revelation 12, if you don't understand what Mr. Fleury has written in America Under Attack. Mr. Fleury goes on, Revelation 12 and verse 9 is also an end time prophecy. It tells us that Satan was cast to this earth. When did this happen? God's people must have this revealed to them, or why would God make the prophecy? You must know if you are to understand what's going on in your nation and in this world. The devil and millions of demons are now confined to this earth. They can no longer go out into the universe. That's the first time that has ever happened. The first time that has ever happened. And you read 2 Timothy 3, and it talks about perilous times. And it's going to get worse and worse. Mr. Fleury continues, what are these evil spirits doing? These are beings with awesome power. Surely their being cast down to this earth would have enormous impact on world affairs. We must be seeing things happen that would indicate the reality of this end time Bible prophecy. How did it affect this world, and how much is it going to impact your life? Their dirty work is going on now, but do we see it? Do we understand it? If this is actually true, then there must be a lot of damage. God's word stands or falls on whether or not we can prove this, and we certainly can prove it. The effects and Bible prophecy will tell us when and how it all happened and how it continues to unfold. How thankful are we to have this revealed truth? How thankful are we for the Bible and for God revealing what's going on in this world? And that we don't have to wander through this wondering what's happening. We don't have to be deceived by that. And really, there should be a lot of questions being asked when you see and hear the things like I mentioned in the first or the beginning of this segment. How is that pop music now? How are these movies so ubiquitous? How is this music so widespread? And you think about the damage being done to young people that listen to that sort of music, 13 years old, 14 years old. When the singer herself admits that she sees creatures outside of her windows, this is frightening, and we need answers. We need to understand what's happening in this world. Like Mr. Stephen Fleury explained, there is a spiritual dimension to all of this. There's that unseen spirit world. And music is a very powerful way in which Satan broadcasts. Mr. Armstrong wrote a lot about that. Now, like I said at the start of this segment, I'd like to end on a positive note regarding music. What I read about earlier, it's very depressing, it's very sad, it's very upsetting to see the course that man is on. And I was going to play a piece of opera music from Mozart. It's one of the most elegant pieces of music I've ever heard. I really enjoy listening to it. And I thought, well, I've actually never researched this. I've never looked into the lyrics. It's just been one of those songs that's very beautiful to listen to. And I never wanted to look into the lyrics. It's from Mozart's Marriage of the Figaro. It's Solaria. And after years of enjoying that song, I thought, well, I better just look into what it's about. And I wasn't too happy to learn something about exposing some adulterous relationship. And it was just funny to me that something could sound so beautiful and be about that. But this has always been Satan's world, and there's always that good mixed in with the bad. And it did get me thinking, you know, how thankful we should be for the music that comes out of headquarters here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And we really are, you know, working right here at headquarters on starting the culture that will carry over into the world tomorrow. And we really are going to have to rewrite everything. Nothing from this world is worth saving. So I thought I would conclude this segment playing a piece of music that I believe will make it into the world tomorrow. And it will just give us a little taste of the content that's produced here at headquarters. And there's so much vision wrapped up in that, that this little campus is beginning, or this little church is starting the culture that's going to carry over and begin teaching the whole world about godly culture. And as this world, it keeps getting worse and worse, we have to become more and more royal. We have to become more and more grounded in God's culture. So I thought I would just conclude this segment playing a clip from the Abraham Oratorio. And this clip, or this song rather, is titled, "Is Anything Too Hard for the Lord?"
Thank you.
taste of what music will be like in the world tomorrow, a little taste of what music is like right now at God's headquarters campus and within God's church. A great piece of music there. And again, you can get all of those songs at pcg.church, and you can go up to the resources tab and listen to all of that music that we've produced here. And there are dozens of albums on there, hundreds of hours of music to listen to, and those are the things that we should be filling up on more and more. Now, I'll go ahead and take a short break. Following the break, I'd like to play Mr. Gerald Fleury's Key of David program, The Measure of Music, and that's kind of built around Mr. Ryan Malone's new book, How God Values Music. If you haven't gone through that or watched that Key of David program, I'd definitely suggest doing that. I thought I would mention as well that on Grant Turgeon's show, Trumpet Bookshelf, about 2 weeks ago, he interviewed Mr. Malone about his new booklet. You can listen to that interview at thetrumpet.com. Just follow the Listen tab to Trumpet Bookshelf and scroll down to the program titled How God Values Music, Interview the Author. Again, that's Trumpet Bookshelf, How God Values Music, Interview the Author. So we'll go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back from that break, we'll listen to Mr. Gerald Fleury's Key of David program, The Measure of Music. Thank you for joining us today. Remember to email the show at td@kpcg.fm. Visit our website, thetrumpet.com, to listen to past shows and for more ways to get in contact with us. Thanks again for listening.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
Good music is proven to provide many benefits for your mind, body, and spirit. Learn how music is central to God's plan. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. How much do you know about music? Great music benefits our mental, physical, and emotional health. It aids our thinking and helps us get rid of our moods, the wrong kinds of moods, so say many of the experts. Now, you can prove that to yourself, but on the contrary, there is a wrong kind of music that will have just about the reverse effect of that and can damage your mental and physical and emotional health. Something we need to be very careful about. Great music also can remove some depression. That depression can be caused by the contrary type of music, perverted music or anything like that. But we have a new booklet that is just absolutely outstanding. It's titled The Measure of Music by Ryan Malone, our music director and choir master. And this is just one of the most dynamic, unique booklets that you'll ever find on this earth, I do believe. And I hope that you'll send for it. We'll give you the information at the end of this program. And of course, all of our literature is free. But in another book of Mr. Malone's called The Institution of Praise, he quotes a Professor Levitin. The professor says, "Music is clearly a means for improving people's moods." Improving your mood and people's moods. To illustrate this idea, we first need to understand the Nobel Prize-winning discovery made in 1998 about how cells in our bodies create nitric oxide in waves, a gas that they release into the body tissue around them, a process called puffing. This puffing can boost cell vitality and vascular flow, aid in resistance of stress, strengthen the immune system, diminish depression, improve digestion, and impart higher levels of energy, stamina, and mental clarity. Now that's quite a statement. that this great music can benefit you in that way. That is something that I think all of us should be concerned about. When you look at just the mental and emotional effects of music, great music, it's astounding. It seems like all of us would be very much involved in. Dr. Oliver Sacks, musician and neurologist, had this to say. He was quoting music therapist Greta Schulthorpe, and Sacks writes, quote, "There are disturbed people who become calm because of good music." Sacks also discusses music's profound effects on Parkinson's patients and amnesiacs. At the end of the book, he states that to those who are lost in dementia, music is not some trivial luxury of life, but a necessity, and can have a power beyond anything else to restore them to themselves and to others, at least for a while, and then you may have to repeat the process from time to time. But just think about all of the wonderful blessings that come from great music. In the music in childhood points out that to buy into the myth that few children are musically endowed, and one that threatens the right of all musical education and may even endanger a musical culture. See, again, that's a myth. We actually teach all of our young children, elementary children and high school children and on into college, that they can develop musical skills. And that we prove it by doing it. I think the understanding that many of the experts clearly tell us is something we need to look into closely or study closely and scrutinize everything they say, because there are so many wonderful benefits. But there is an added dimension to this, and that is what the Bible says about music. There are just all kinds of scriptures and examples of music in the Bible. And God reveals to us how important it is to our lives if it's great music. The best of the human spirit and the best that God can inspire in us. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 18, it talks about David being cunning in his playing. And David was, it says in Acts 13 and verse 22, he was a man after God's own heart, and he would fulfill all of God's will. And he was cunning in playing. So that cunning in playing actually literally means to be skillful in striking the strings, and it connotes an ability to teach. Let me read to you 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23, one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible about music. Just notice this amazing example, verse 23, "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." That's just something that is almost mind-stretching when you start thinking about it. Here we have the music therapy first talked about in the Bible. It really is and can be great therapy. And here is specifically a cure for spiritual, mental, and emotional ailments. So says your Bible. And there are studies, plenty of them in this world, that show you the positive effects on the mind and the physical health of a human being. When you look at 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23, just look at it more closely and what it says there. But it shows that it's a soothing remedy that is available to us if we really do trust and believe in God. Where it says David played with his hand in that verse, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23, it should read, Better translated, David played with his hand day by day. I mean, he really was into this music and really was good at playing instruments. Psalm 57 has this to say from David, quote, "Wake up, my glory, awake psaltery and harp. Myself will awake early. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto you among the nations." Now, at that time he was hiding in a cave because Saul was trying to kill him, but he was writing about his music. It was so important to him. And he knew, if you read that correctly, it definitely does say, I believe very strongly, that David knew this music he was writing was going to go to all the nations through his people, and especially when you get into the New Testament church, that David's psalms are certainly taught by God's people around the world. And many people maybe that don't even have a religion, they may be studying and understanding those psalms because they love the psalms. Or maybe they have at least some faith in God. But think about the David's realized that this is music that he was into that was for the whole world and all the nations. He realized that even, 1,000 years before Christ came. These psalms are really, they are songs. They're also poetry, but they're songs to be sung, for us to be singing. 1 Chronicles 23 shows that 4,000 priests played instruments that David made. He composed much music. 75 psalms has his name directly in the inscription. This is taken from Mr. Malone's book. And there are quite a few more psalms that he wrote that you can also prove from your Bible with a little more research. But our hymnal book is essentially about the psalms. We sing the psalms. And they're the most beautiful, powerful music in the world. And most people don't know that, but they are, and they will actually even increase your faith if you look at it spiritually, because they are statements right out of the Bible and promises that God makes to us time and time again. If you want to look to a New Testament group of verses, let me read something just a little to you from Revelation 4, verses 3 and 4. I'll just give you the highlights here, but it talks about God's throne room, and then it talks about a rainbow round about the throne. The 24 elders are there, and they had on their heads crowns of gold, and this is the environment that we're that God is illustrating here. And the 24 elders did sing a new song. That's in verse 9. But just think about this visually rich environment. There were harps being played and singing, and there was all kinds of constant music. But look especially to verse 11. Well, it's 11 to 13, but it's specifically in verse 11. But there's an angelic chorus of 100 million voices. Can you fathom that? You'd think God loves music? 100 million voices. Can you imagine what an impact that would have on human beings? And certainly it has a great impact on God because He has created it for His pleasure and for His good. That's just mind-bending when you think about it. You mean God really puts this much emphasis on music? Well, it must have some good benefits or God would never do that. And that certainly is in your New Testament if you believe in the Old and New Testament. If you don't believe in the Old Testament, well, it's in the New Testament. But we really should believe in both of them. They are tightly intertwined. And about 25% of the New Testament is direct quotations from the Old Testament. But in Psalm 45 in verse 8, notice this. It says, all the garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made you glad. But that's not a good translation there where it says whereby. The verse should read this way, out of the ivory palaces, string instruments gladden you. They gladden you. They really do have an impact on the mind and the mood and the mentality of the human being, the emotions of the human being, and even the physical health of the human being. Just think of all those majestic surroundings. God doesn't, He lives in great luxury, and He wants that for man. Man would have it even now if he obeyed God. But in the world tomorrow, this world is going to be filled with the same kind of luxury that God is talking about that He has. He has His throne culture that is something that is so majestic that we've never even seen anything like it. But it gladdens you. You see, it has a real impact on making you more positive. And who could, avoid something like that if they really understand it? Ezekiel 28 and verse 13 says, the workmanship of your tabrets and your pipes was prepared in you in the day that you were created. Talking about Lucifer. God created this great archangel, Lucifer. And notice, He gave him all of this musical talent. He was in charge of music and other things. But the workmanship of the tabrets and the pipes that was prepared in you in the day that you were created. He had these superior musical skills. And God planned on him taking that and the angels taking that into the entire universe. But the angels failed, and now God wants human beings to be created in His character and with His mind and go out into the universe and fill it with that kind of music. We'll even be given greater music than what Lucifer was given. And he rebelled and became Satan the devil and the god of this world. And he has perverted the music of this world. Most of it is perverted. Certainly much of it. But there are certainly good musicians, great musicians in this world. And there's great music. And you'll see in this auditorium some of the best of the human spirit there is on this earth. Through music, singing, and dancing. That is something that benefits our students, benefits all of our people in every way. If you think about the entire universe and taking this kind of music out into the entire universe, that's something to really contemplate and think about how wonderful this future is going to be. In Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 8, I'll just give you one quote here from those verses. It talks about God intending for the Israelites to live by His type of culture. And here's a quote from Mr. Malone. He says, the nation's progenitor, Abraham, was an extremely well-educated, well-traveled, refined man. According to the Austrian Chronicle of the 95 rulers, he established Austria as the cultural center of Europe. It still is today, over 4,000 years later. The evidence of Abraham's influence in Austria is found mostly in its musical culture. Vienna remains the musical capital of the world. Salzburg was the film location for much of the Sound of Music and is world famous as the birthplace of Mozart, the great musical genius revered in the city as well as in Greater Austria. And of course, all over the world today. But think about that. And we have all kinds of outstanding concerts in this auditorium, and we have the best performing artists from all over the world, and many of our people will live stream those concerts. And so they benefit from it as well in many occasions. But they, again, that fulfills David's prophecy about him taking his music to the nations. He knew there was a future for that nations because that music, because he knew it was revealed to him by God. And he knew that God was doing it for a much bigger purpose than just his time. He had the vision to see far down into the world tomorrow and the city of New Jerusalem was coming to this earth. Isaiah 51 and verse 3 says, "For the Eternal shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." They're going to be singing and having a joyful, rejoicing time. What could be more wonderful than that kind of a future? Well, we can enjoy much of that today. That's what God wants us to see and understand. The voice of melody. All kinds of music in spiritual Eden. The real Eden is yet to come. And what a wonderful time that's going to be. Well, it talks about in Jeremiah 31, verses 11 through 14. I'll just paraphrase that. But it says, "Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, the virgin rejoice in the dance." This is talking about that wonderful world tomorrow. "And I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Eternal." And he's talking about in-depth kind of dancing that really is the hardest dancing to learn in the world. God wants us to create the very best of music that we possibly can, and dancing, and have the most awesome singing that you could hear. That is what God wants for us, whether it's on the human level or the God's level, but it'll be much greater on God's level for sure. "He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over you with singing." This is how God is going to build happiness in the world, real joy. And a big part of that comes through God's music, or even the classical music that we hear today in many cases. It is very beautiful and certainly can have an amazing impact on human beings. But God is getting ready to plant all of that in the heavens. It says in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 1 that it says, "The sweet psalmist of Israel," talking about David. And what a sweet psalmist he was, and how he loved music. Well, there are other scriptures like 1 Chronicles 13 and verse 8 about, "And all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets." Think about all of that. Verse 16 says, "And David spoke to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music," literally singing, "and psalteries and harps and cymbals and sounding, by lifting up the voice with joy," singing with joy. And it really uplifted all of them. And we need that in our culture. That is a part of God's culture, to be sure. One scripture, I'll just conclude with this, but Asaph, who was a poet and a prophet, certainly was in charge of much of the Israelite singing, said, "Asaph, of all the psalmists, seems to discuss the hands more than others. Psalm 80 and verse 17 says, 'Let your right hand be upon the man of your right hand.'" And then he goes on to say, "Asaph could see God's hand guiding his nation and a chosen leader just as a conductor would." That's what he's talking about. God guides all of this if we'll let Him orchestrate His plan. And it's going to bring us great joy. I mean, that's the spiritual dimension that we all want. He's going to spread that glory to all of this world, all of the heathen, as it says in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8 and 9, and verses 23 and 24. God says, sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk you of all his wondrous works, or sing about God and all that he does for all of us, and the kind of his throne room culture that he wants to bring to this world, and he's going to bring it to this world. He's going to do so very, very soon, and you can see that and you can prove that in Bible prophecy. So let's learn everything we can about great music.